John chapter 8, verse 38. And reading down to verse 47. John chapter 8, verse 38 to 47. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the work, the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And though these verses require, really, every verse could form a sermon, yet we do well to take heed to the drift of the passage, the development of the theme of fatherhood, and so we take all the verses together, even though it's rather long. And our theme this morning, is the true children of God. The true children of God. The Jews' initial interest has turned into complete hostility. They resent the thought that they need the freedom that Christ can give. And that was part of their bondage to sin, that they didn't even see that they needed freedom in Christ. As the descendants of Abraham, possessing the scriptures and the ordinances, they regard themselves as spiritually free. Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 remind us of their privileges, but inadequate privileges. They are not enough to ensure in themselves salvation. What advantage then hath a Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. But they were actually, despite all these privileges, the servants of sin, the slaves of sin, as is evident in their desire to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. So they were the bond slaves of sin, the bond servants of sin, but they had a great deal of by way of privilege and outward religion and the privilege of physical descent. So every one of us is either a child of God and or a child of the devil. And that is our first point. All of us, children of God or children of the devil. Verse 38, I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. So all of us in every congregation of the professing church, as well as in the world, we're either children of God or were children of the devil. At this point, the Lord Jesus was speaking rather than doing, and he was speaking about what he had seen with his Father. That is, his ministry was in complete harmony with his Father's will. It was in complete harmony with the eternal plan of his Father, with whom he had complete intimate fellowship within the Godhead. They, however, were fulfilling the will of their Father. He does not at this point name him, but this takes the form, the debate from slavery and freedom to the question of spiritual fatherhood. Whose children are they? Are they really free? Do they know the living God who satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness? And so the question moves from freedom, whether they are free or not free, to the question of whose children are they? If they are children of God, then they are free. But if they are children of the devil, they are not free, whatever they may maintain. He fulfilled the will of his Father in heaven, perfectly fulfilling his place in terms of the covenant of redemption, that he should come into this world, that he should be without sin, that he should submit to the wrath of God in the place of sinners, to fulfill that faithful saying, word, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He fulfilled all righteousness. None of his enemies could convict him of sin, and he bore the transgression of sinners. But their resemblance to their Father was evident. You seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Secondly, then, a false reliance on church background. A false reliance on church background. Verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. They don't understand that the Lord Jesus is talking about their father, that they are annoyed and brush it to one side with the claim that they have Abraham as their father. They were claiming more than physical descent. Even now, we do it injustice if we think that the Jews were just saying we are descended from Abraham. They're saying more than that. They're saying we're descended from Abraham and we are the chosen people. We're not like Ishmael, we're not like Esau. We are the professing church of God, and that Abraham is our father, not only physically, but we are the true church of God descended from him. That's what they're saying. They're not saying simply that they were children of Abraham physically, although they were saying that, but that was true of Edom, it was true of Ishmael's descendants, but they were saying more than that. They were saying, not only are we descended from Abraham, but we are the children of Abraham, we follow in the faith. So it was a physical relationship within the professing people of God, and that this ensured their spiritual standing. But their claim was belied by the fact, first of all, that there was no spiritual resemblance. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. They weren't like Abraham at all. Abraham was characterized by a humble submission and trust in the Lord, because God is true and he believed God. But here was God fulfilling his word, manifesting the flesh, and they were trying to kill him. How could they possibly be like Abraham? Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Later on, Christ says this himself. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. But when they beheld his glory, they were filled with rage. You remember Revelation 12. You remember the two seas. And that God himself sent his son in accordance with that, with Revelation 12, and took him up to heaven. But the seed of the devil, the dragon, seeks to persecute the man-child and those who are born of him. They were on the wrong side. If they were children of Abraham, they would be among the people of God. But they weren't. I guess you don't know what I'm talking about. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And we'll read verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 7, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and it cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. They were of their father the devil, because the devil and all who were on his side, all who were under his sway, were opposed to the Christ of God. You remember Herod had tried to kill him when he was an infant, and how he was preserved by God. And now, as a man, they're trying to kill him. So they're on the wrong side. They're not on God's side at all. They belong to the devil. You're of your father, the devil. The works of your father you will do. Why did they not, if they were true children of Abraham, why did they not follow in Abraham's faith? Why is it that the Apostle Paul can talk about justification by faith in Romans, and in chapter 4 he appeals to the example of Abraham? Or in Galatians, where the Apostle defends the doctrine of justification by faith alone, through Christ alone, he says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. In verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So, if they were the real children of Abraham, they would do what Abraham did. He received the truth, he received the gospel. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't. They just went about to kill him. When they saw his miracles, they went about to kill him. The miracles were useful when they benefited from them, like the feeding of the 5,000. But when They were simply signs. They sought to kill him. So why weren't they like Abraham's? In Romans 4, we mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul appeals to Abraham, to his faith, and to faith in Christ as the one who died for our offences and was raised again for our justification. Why weren't they like Abraham? Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can apply this very point. The children need to be true believers in the Lord. We don't say they're not. We don't know. But your children must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your parents do. Of course, they should be brought up within the church. But are you following your parents in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting him? Because these men were descended from Abraham. But despite their physical descent, despite being brought up in the church, they did not believe the Lord Jesus when he came into his own. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So it's important that we don't just follow outwardly, but that we don't just follow the church, but that most of all, we should be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There were true believers in Abraham's family. Isaac trusted in the Lord, and God was his God. Jacob, Isaac's son, believed in the Lord, and God was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you must be the same. And adults who've been brought up in the church, you mustn't rely on that. In the plan of God, you are privileged to be given to a Christian parents, to be brought up in the truth. That's not true of thousands of people. Thousands of people are brought up in unbelief. You were baptized. Perhaps you don't remember it, but you were given the sign of God's promise. And you've continued to go to church, but are you trusting in the Saviour as all your salvation and all your desire? So that you follow your parents not only outwardly in going to church, but in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you trusting the Saviour? You see, these men had many outward privileges. They had the word of God. They had the sign of the covenant, which then was circumcision. They were brought up within the church of God. But when the Christ of God came to them, they received him not. It shows how much privilege we can have and yet still not want the Saviour. But he has made a promise to you that if you keep the way of the Lord, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, inwardly trusting in the Saviour, following your parents and trusting the Saviour, then he will be your God forever and ever. But it was made more explicit in verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. You see, their unfounded assumption is made more explicit. They were brought up in the truth, but they despised it all. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10 and 12. 10 to 12. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The children of the kingdom. How are the children of the kingdom who end up outside in outer darkness, in gnashing of teeth and weeping and wailing? How do the children of the kingdom end up in hell? In what sense are they children of the kingdom? Well, in this sense, that they are brought up in the truth, they are brought up as part of the church, but they despise it. They don't receive the Lord Jesus as all their salvation. They don't trust in him. They don't trust the mediator. And God says, "Lo, I am not your God. You're not my people." Whereas those who heard the gospel for the first time and believed it, they join Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. The rich man and Lazarus, you remember the rich man in hell, said, "Father Abraham." He appeals to his privilege, his background, his pedigree, but it's not enough. Their whole assumption is that purity of physical descent within Israel automatically means that they are the children of God. "We be not born of fornication." There's perhaps a hint that perhaps concerning the origin of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the flesh. Certainly later on they do make this explicit. But there's no doubt, as far as they are concerned, they were brought up as the true children of Abraham. But they didn't receive Abraham's Saviour. They had this assumption. The assumption was that because they were Abraham's children, they were children of God. But we live in a day when the assumption is a broad one. It's not based on ethnicity. We've simply got to exist. And then we're told we're all the children of God, but we're not. Not everybody is a child of God. Mere existence does not mean we're the child of God. Verse 42. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, he would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it." You see, there is one mediator. And if we won't have him, then we can say we're the children of God if we like, but we are not. If God was their father, they would love the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, false religion, whether it's pseudo-Christian or pseudo-Old Testament like these Jews, or whether it's openly pagan, has a wrong view of God. The man who practices false religion does not love God. You say, but surely they're sincere. But what they love is not God. You see, if a man believes that God will be palmed off, if he believes that God, he might acknowledge that God punishes sin, but God can be bought, he doesn't believe in our God. That's why when people say, well, we all worship the same God, the answer is no, we don't. And the God who can be satisfied with less than the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ is not the living and true God. The God of Roman Catholicism is not our God. The God of Islam is not our God. We worship a God who is a just God and a Saviour. And if he's not the Saviour, then he is the just God. And so a man may profess to love God. These Pharisees profess to love God, but they didn't love the living and true God who saves sinners this way and no else. Biblical Christianity is unique. The way of salvation taught by it is unique. And for that reason, we do not accept that the false religions of this world are simply alternative ways to God. The Christian knows that there is only one way to God, and he's glad that it's so. He wouldn't have it otherwise. That tells us what we're children of God, this God, the living God, what we believe about the way of salvation. Thirdly, their true father spelled out. Verse 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. Now this tells us that the Lord Jesus believed there was a devil. He believed in a person called the devil. Ye are of your father, the devil. And that the devil was a real person who was a murderer from the beginning. His aim was to ruin mankind. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he was the original liar. All falsehood began with him. He rejected the truth when he rebelled against God and challenged God's right to be God. And amongst men, he used his lie to seek their ruin. You shall be as gods. It was absolute nonsense. They wouldn't be as gods at all. But he tempted mankind with this false delusion, this lie that God, they would be like God, they wouldn't need God, they'd be independent of God, they didn't need to take God's word for it, they would be independent of him in knowledge, in defining right and wrong. And we see the outworking of that in our present day. That every prerogative of God is systematically being denied. God made man male and female. Well, we'll decide for ourselves. When does life begin? Well, we'll decide for ourselves. Is it so many weeks? When does life end? Well, when it ceases to be meaningful. So we'll introduce it euthanasia. In other words, every prerogative that belongs to God, men want to take for themselves. What we're seeing in our society is simply the outworking of this desire to be as gods. And so when we come along and preach the Christian gospel, that not only is man dependent upon God for the beginning of life, the end of life, what to do with life, male and female distinctions, but we actually believe that men must depend upon God's Son, Jesus Christ, to save them from their sins. Otherwise they'll go to hell under the wrath of this God. It's totally unacceptable by nature. If men are so proud, so arrogant, that they want to decide for themselves when life begins, when life ends, what a man is, what a woman is, we should hardly be surprised if he wants to save himself as well. In fact, he doesn't believe he needs saving. That's how far we have gone from the Word of God. And we should understand the present climate in the light of God's Word. Man is utterly dependent upon God. And modern society is saying, no, we will not be. And God has said in his word that he has revealed in his word the truth of the matter. But those who embrace a lie and reject the truth are the children of the devil. And he is the father of lies. It comes from him. The falsehood comes from him. And these Jews wanted to kill the Lord Jesus Christ and get rid of the truth. Do you want to be rid of the truth? Do you just endure the truth? Is it just something you put up with, but you don't love it? See Revelation 22. Revelation 22 in verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. You may not be able to make a lie. You cannot convince yourself that the lie is the truth. But you love the lie. You wish that God wasn't there. God is an inconvenience. That by your habit of church going, you are annoyed with every week. But you love the lie. That's because if you love the lie, you're of your father, the devil, and your lusts of your father, you will do. Fourthly then, the true child of God, known by his fruit. The true child of God, known by his fruit. The true child of God loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded and came forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. If they love God, they would love Christ. If they honour the Father, they would honour the Son. This means only biblical Christianity is the truth. And if men want Christ out of their religion, it's because they hate the truth. It's because they love the lie. It's because they prefer darkness to light. And this whole multi-faith idea rests on the idea of denying the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's the uniqueness that the true believer ascribes to the Lord Jesus Christ. True believers love the truth, verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. They didn't want the truth. It's such a case of human opinion, it's the truth. The sinless Saviour that they couldn't point a finger at had told them the truth. He'd come from God. He was without sin. And still they found fault. Do you find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ or with what he says? They did. Even though there was no sin in him. He was wholly harmless and undefiled, separate from sinners, and yet they found fault with him, and they crucified the Lord of glory. But real Christians love the truth. They love Christ, they love the sinless one, they love the Lord Jesus for telling the truth, they love his person, they love his work, they love to depend upon him, they love his people, his day, his ordinances. The child of God hears God's words. Verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye hear them not because ye are not of God. So when the Christian says, Our Father which art in heaven, it's the truth. Is it true of you? Can you say that your Father is in heaven? That you're not of the devil, but your Father is God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinners are told to come to God through him. There's no one like him, no one beside him. He's not a Savior, but the Saviour, the only Saviour that there ever was, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other name amongst given amongst men from heaven whereby we must be saved. And if by God's grace we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not natural to us. We must ascribe all honour and glory to God. He has changed us and given us a heart to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. These men had all the outward privileges, so might we have. But if by God's grace they've been blessed to us so that we do trust the Saviour, then it is of God and not natural to us at all. We by nature would be like these men, who claimed that they loved God, but were haters of God. Haters of the living and true God, because they hated the Lord Jesus, who came to save in accordance with the character of God. But if we are different, it's still by grace. Yes, being brought up in the visible church is a great privilege. But it's only a privilege that God can bless to our soul and make real to us so that we are willing in the day of his power to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust him as the only Saviour. Are you convinced that he is the only Saviour? He's the only one who can make you accepted with God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Christ said it, and his people love it because they are the children of God. Amen. Let us pray. O great and eternal God, we bless thee for all thy goodness. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Saviour of sinners, and that none perish who trust in him. And we pray that thou would bless thy word to our hearts, that we might all be found safely in Christ, resting and relying upon the Lord Jesus as all our salvation and all our desire. Hear us, O God, and accept us for Christ's sake. Amen.